Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your teacher and host, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so glad to be back with you today as we continue our journey through the book of Acts. Today we're in chapter 6, and the heart of my message today, I want to talk about the first martyr, or at least the first one that we know about. His name is Stephen, and his story begins in verse 6, covers all of chapter 7. And Stephen was first chosen to do a mundane job of ministering to widows. We read about this story in Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." Hellenists refers to the Greek-speaking Jews. There were Greek-speaking synagogues in Jerusalem at the time. And these would have been people probably that had moved back to the land of Israel, that they had been a part of the diaspora. And they would have been Greek-speaking, but they had moved back to Israel and in Jerusalem. So there were like Greek-speaking synagogues in Jerusalem. And so obviously there was an emphasis on helping the poor, the widows, and the destitute, and so on. So there arose a complaint by the Hellenists, by the Greek-speaking Jews, against the Hebrew-speaking Jews, that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So to respond to this, the 12 called the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." In other words, there is a great need here. People are being neglected, people who need food. They need some help each day, but it's not right for us to leave our primary calling, which is the word of God and prayer. So there is a lesson for us. Guard your calling, guard your anointing, guard your calling. And just because something needs to be done or ought to be done, a good thing to do, doesn't necessarily mean that you should be doing it. And so the 12, they call the disciples together and say, "Hey, here is a great need, but it's not right for us to neglect our calling to meet this practical need." So they ask the multitude to choose 7 people. Sometimes these are called the first deacons. However, the word deacon, diakonos, is not found here at all. So you can't really make a strong argument that these are the first deacons in the church. They are people who are chosen to meet a practical need. And we see, especially in the example of Stephen, Stephen was one of those who was chosen. There were 7 individuals that were chosen. And in verse 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." So Stephen is described as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, but he was given a job of distributing food, serving tables, serving widows, and so on. And yes, we do need to be willing to do the practical things in life. We must never become so proud that we can't get our hands a little dirty in the practical things of life. And so Stephen was willing to do that. But as we will see, because of his calling, he's not going to remain in that role. He's going to move on outside of that. For chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." And so these are Jews there in Israel, particularly in Jerusalem. And they begin to dispute with him. Apparently, he was very convincing in his teaching and preaching about Jesus. And they begin to dispute with him. And because they could not counter what he was saying, verse 11 says, "Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.'" So they can't deal with his argument. So they induced people to accuse him of things that he's not guilty of. And so verse 14, these are some of the accusations. They said, "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." Then all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. In other words, apparently his face was shining with the presence and the glory of God. And he proceeded then to give a long speech and talk. Apparently this was before the Jewish authorities there in Jerusalem. And so he gives this overview of how God had led the Jewish people, how they had backslid, and how God had raised up prophets again and again and sent to them. And then in verse 53, he gets very personal with them. And he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. You who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." Now, verse 54 says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth." Man, they were just so angry. They were gnashing their teeth at the things he was boldly saying to them. And so they rushed upon him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Isn't it amazing in this situation? This is not a situation. This is not a church service with a great praise band and worship team and so on. No, this isn't a situation where he is before hostile authorities who are ready to put him to death. But in that situation, he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he cried out, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Verse 57, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." That is a euphemism for he died. He fell asleep. But isn't it amazing? He's obviously full of the Spirit of the Lord, for he has the same kind of prayer that Jesus prayed for his persecutors on the cross. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And Stephen cries out as he's being stoned, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, the word martyr, Stephen, as far as we know, there could have been an earlier one that is not recorded, but he was the first martyr of the church that gave his life for his testimony of the Lord. Now, the word martyr, M-A-R-T-Y-R, sometimes it might be spelled M-A-R-T-U-R, is a Greek word, and it is translated witness. That's really the meaning of the word is witness. It is the word that is used in Acts chapter 1 and 8, where Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses, you shall be my martyrs." Now, at this time, it did not have that connotation of death. The word eventually came to mean someone who makes the ultimate witness, who's willing to lay down their life for their witness of Jesus Christ. Because again and again, this still happens today, Christians would be given the option, the choice, deny Jesus and we'll let you go. Now, are you going to be his witness in a situation like that? You see, that was the ultimate witness. So the word martyr became associated with death when people were willing to lay down their lives for their testimony of Jesus Christ. And you know, there are people in the world today. I read years ago that there were more martyrs Christian martyrs in the 20th century than any other time in church history. And I know, I mean, it's going on today, but I remember when ISIS was sweeping across the Middle East and they were targeting Christians and putting them to death. And I remember reading about 21 young men from Egypt. They were part of the Coptic Christian movement in India, which goes way back to the early, probably the first century. And they had gone to Libya looking for work, and they were apprehended by ISIS jihadists. And they were beheaded. They were given the option of denying Jesus, converting to Islam, but they refused to do so. And so they were lined up and they were beheaded. A video was made of it. And some of them could be heard uttering the words of Lord Jesus Christ as they were being beheaded. Yes, we need God's looking for people today, not just who will die for him, but who will live for him. And if you ever come to that place, God will give you the grace to be his witness, to be his martyr. But God is looking for people today who will be his witnesses, who are willing to deny themselves, who will not allow themselves to be intimidated, to put in fear, but who will be bold to speak the name of Jesus in every situation. So will you be his martyr today? Will you be his bold witness today? Ah, I believe like Stephen, you too will see the glory of the Lord as you boldly witness for him. I'm Eddie Hyatt, and this is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. And check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. And in the bookstore, there's a bookstore, there's articles. There's a book that I think is very appropriate for this season. It's called Discovering the Real Jesus. It actually has a chapter on the virgin birth, but it has so much more. Jesus is so much more than a little baby in a manger. And so many people, so many millions, they know the name, but they really don't know the person, who he really is. I encourage you to check out this book. It's also on Amazon, Discovering the Real Jesus, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.